Let us pray. Gracious Holy One, we thank you. We magnify thy holy and righteous name. We thank you that there's no rock like our God, and we stand on the solid rock. Continue to increase our faith. Speak to our hearts by your divine word as we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to call your attention to your sermon notes. And our passage for this morning, of course, and you've just finished reading it, is from Psalms 23. Psalms 23. And it deals with our Lord as a shepherd. And so let me reminisce and share with you that we have been dealing with God as Jehovah. And there are many names for God as Jehovah. And Jehovah, of course, means the existing or revealing one. The first week of this sermon series started out with Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah is our peace. God is our peace. And then Jehovah Rapha. God is our healer. The Lord's my healer. And then last week you heard a sermon as it relates to Jehovah Nisi. God is our banner. He's our victory. He gives us victory through Jesus Christ. Well, I want to share this morning with excitement and joy as it relates to our sermon for this morning, Jehovah Roi. Jehovah Roi. It means the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. Of course, David is the writer of Psalms 23. And I shared with Sarah. Where is Sarah? Okay, she went to the nursery. Good place to be. All right. I shared with Sarah before she started her solo, Christ Alone. I said, Sarah, just get up there and remember, just like the little boy who had to recite the 23rd song. He had practiced all week with excitement and joy. And then when he got before an audience, locked up, froze up, he said, the Lord is my shepherd and I ain't scared. Well, she did a good job. Amen. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. David, King David, the second king of Israel, he is the author of this Psalms. In fact, if you look closely and just look at Psalms 22 and 23 and 24, you'll see that David indeed is writing these songs out of his own experience, his own ethos. He's writing these songs out of his relationship with God. Now, I must give you the facts as it relates to the biblical background of Psalms 23. There's going to be some bumps along the road. I must give you that up front. First of all, many critical scholars, they still even debate today as of when. When was David writing Psalms 23? We don't know if he was a young shepherd boy or an old king in his twilight years. We don't know if he was having a good time and he could write, the Lord is my shepherd, or he was going through perilous times by acknowledging, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't know. But one thing we do know, David tells us explicitly, the Lord is my what? Shepherd. That is a true fact, because David is now sharing out of his own experience and acknowledging and recognizing God as part of his own background, and his background was a shepherd. And he would take care of sheep, and he sees his relationship with God as the shepherd, and David himself as a sheep. Now, you might want to put a pin in that, because I'm going to tell you about sheep. But David gives us that reference. He gives us that information as it relates to Psalms 23. And Israel is called, as our guide shared, and where are our folks? Several of you sitting over here. If you had gone to Israel, just raise your hand. We had a total of 23 others from other places, and Mike as well. But they shared that Israel is the land of the shepherds and the farmers. And indeed it is. In fact, if you have your Bibles and look at Psalms 23, there are six verses. And in Psalms 23, it is known as the most well-known Psalter of the Psalms. It is part of Israel's hymn book and prayer book even today. And Psalms 23 is very familiar. Those who have now come into the faith and acknowledge Jesus Christ, and even those who are seasoned veterans, they know Psalms 23. Little children, perhaps Sarah, as she's teaching little children in the nursery, they're learning Psalms 23. It is quoted at hospital bedsides. It is even recited at funerals, even good for funeral texts as well. Psalms 23 is good even in the time of a couple standing before God and others getting ready to get married, like Tony and Kelly just a couple weeks ago. Psalms 23 reminds me of the wedding that was held yesterday, as I had the opportunity to officiate the wedding between Mark and Julie. They're visitors. They come to our church, but they wanted to get married. They got married yesterday. And Psalms 23 helps guide them along this journey. Psalms 23 can actually be what we refer to as the nutshell of the gospel of the Old Testament. Because in the New Testament, we call John 3:16. As the gospel in a nutshell. Well, Psalms 23 continues throughout the Hebrew literature and the Old Testament as the highlight by acknowledging the Lord is my shepherd. Now, if you look closely in Psalms 23, and let me haste along, there are three important facts that I want to share with you, because even today, we're reminded of the words of Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon said that Psalms 23 is the pearl of the Bible. He also said that if Psalms 23 does not identify one with the shepherd, he's still my shepherd. Years later on, the author, Charles Allen, came along, and Charles L. Allen, he penned a book entitled God, Psychologist. And in that book, he says, if one wants to have a good night's sleep and reduce the stress load and the emotional load that we take into the bedroom, that person should read Psalms 23 seven times before going to bed. And that will help reduce the stress level and the emotional level. Have you ever tried? Seven is a sense of wholeness and completion. He is reminding us, if you read Psalms 23, you will notice that you can put your trust in God. In fact, let me share these three points with you. Psalms 23 reminds us, as it relates to God, the Lord watches over those who trust Him. The Lord watches over those who trust Him. Point number two. The Lord watches over the physical needs of those who trust Him. He watches over the physical needs of those who trust Him. And then lastly, the Lord watches over the spiritual needs of those who trust Him. It's all about trusting God. Amen. You read Psalms 23 in its entirety, and you'll see how it relates. It's in the middle of Psalms 22 and Psalms 24. All three speaks to our spiritual walk and our spiritual journey. Here it goes. If you have your Bibles, look at Psalms 22. In Psalms 22, it deals with the past, our spiritual past, and the physical past, and our need to trust God. Psalms 22 is a glimpse of what? Calvary. It's a glimpse of Calvary. It's a beautiful illustration. How do I know? If you have your Bibles, look at Psalms 22 and the first verse. That verse that you read there reminds us of Jesus on the cross. Psalms 22 in the first verse, doesn't matter what translation you have, it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Those are the words that Jesus shared out of his own human nature as he was on the cross making the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Now you look at Psalms 23 and it doesn't deal with the past, but it deals with our present. At our present state as a church, it reminds us that we worship a God who is with us even today. And then Psalms 24 deals with the future. We just finished singing a hymn number 733. We're marching where? Oh, you can do better than that. We're marching where? To Zion, that beautiful city of God. It doesn't deal with the past like Calvary. It doesn't deal with the present like the church, but it deals with the future. They looked to the mountain of Zion as the place that God's people would worship God. If you have your Bibles, look at Psalms 24 and the first verse. Look closely. In the first verse, it reminds us of what? Someone want to read it? Oh, we do have someone in the church with a Bible besides me. Yes, we do. Thank you. Someone read it nice and loud, just that first verse. Yeah. The earth is the Lord. The earth is the Lord. And in the King James translation says, and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell within. But then if you continue to read, you'll see it deals with Zion because it asks, who is the King of glory? The Lord God Almighty. It reminds us that we have a future beyond this world into the world to come. And we're marching towards Zion to worship a God who loves us and who is willing to take care of us as a good shepherd. Psalms 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Look in your sermon notes as I haste along. What is a shepherd? Look to your neighbor and ask that question. What is a shepherd? Yeah, what is a shepherd? I'm glad you asked. A person who tends and what? Rears sheep. That's a shepherd. That's the identity of a shepherd. A shepherd is one who what? Tends and rear sheep. That's a shepherd. And we move from acknowledging the shepherd to acknowledging the sheep. Now, perhaps you are wondering, and I wonder too, why didn't David pick a more robust, attractive animal? Thank you. Why didn't David pick an animal with a little bit more macho, a little bit more courage, a little bit more zeal and fighting him? Why would he pick a sheep that's dirty, that stink, that eat right from the grass? Why wouldn't he pick an animal that people are afraid of? Why not bears? Why not bears? Bears are a symbol of strength. Perhaps you can recall just a few weeks ago in Seminole County, they were doing some bear hunting. They were trying to find the bear that had burst his way into a pool screen. I didn't know, maybe he wanted to take a swim. But a bear has strength. But why not a lion? Why not a lion, a ferocious animal, an animal of courage, strong and strength? Why not that type of animal? Or even a fox. A fox identifies wisdom. Or better yet, don't they look beautiful? Look at those doves. They represent peace. But he decided to acknowledge the Lord is my shepherd. David acknowledged his own being, his own DNA, if you will, as a sheep. Why sheep? Look to your other neighbor and ask, why sheep? All right, here we go. Here's the bump in the road. Because the image of a shepherd tenderly leading, feeding, and caring for his sheep is a perfect picture of our precious Savior relationship to his sheep. Sheep are considered dumb. That's the bump in the road. I didn't say that. That's what they are. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. That means he's the sheep, and he's referring to himself as what? Dumb. A sheep will follow other sheep without looking what's ahead. If one sheep falls off the cliff, guess what? The next sheep will fall off the cliff. They're considered dumb. They need to be guided. They need to be led. They need to be fed. They need to be cared for. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not, what? Want. Shall not want. David was acknowledging the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you see here? He didn't say the Lord was my shepherd. That would be what? Past tense. But he said the Lord is my shepherd. That is what? Present tense. It's not like God is some distant God in the past. God is my shepherd now in the present. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, everyone can't say that. If you never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's hard to say the Lord is my shepherd. But you have the opportunity to accept him, not reject him, as your shepherd. There have been many numerous of things that I've done and accomplished extremely well. But there's been some other things that I have my own shortcomings. But one is solid. The Lord is my shepherd. David acknowledged that the Lord is his shepherd, and he's willing to be our shepherd each and every day. In fact, when we were in Israel, and we have this picture here, you see the shepherd. And you see where the sheep are? The sheep are not in front of. Hello. The shepherd. We can't get in front of God. We must get what? Behind God. And you see there to my left, there's a donkey. But the shepherd at no time when we acknowledged him and had a chance to see him was on the donkey. The shepherd was where? In the field. The shepherd was with the sheep. That's why David could say, the Lord is my shepherd. God is with me. It doesn't mean if it was a good time or a bad time. God is still with me 24/7. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. We were able to go to Israel and come back safely. Why? Because the Lord is our shepherd. And then David says, I shall not want. Now, that want is a different word from the way we look at that word as it relates to Hebrew scripture. It deals with a word we know as lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything. It doesn't deal with the situation as we look for things that we want, things that we need. But God gives us the necessities of life. And the shepherd continues to provide for the sheep. But then he goes on and look at the second verse. The second verse says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want you to read it with me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. How many of you acknowledge when we got ready for the children's moment? There was a beautiful girl came right here. She ran down here and she ran over to her mother with a lot of excitement and joy. We just heard the sound of a baby. There's something about God, how God works with us even in our everyday experiences. I never will forget, it was probably the fifth day that we was in Israel, and we had folks there from Central United Methodist Church in Pennsylvania. And Linda and I were having a conversation with them, and we were talking to grandparents, and grandparents were sharing that you have to be careful when you're taking care of your grandchildren, because you don't have that energy level like you used to have. Amen. Can I get a witness? Amen. And you have to make sure that you have them a time of rest. Now, it's updated now. It's called time out. Well, when I arrived here to the office on Friday, I ran into a lovely grandmother who are part of our prayer team ministry. And guess what she was telling me? That she is responsible, she and her husband, all this week for taking care of their grandchildren. And she said that they're going to have a period of rest. She doesn't care how much they call their mother or father. They're still going to have a period of rest. Look at this passage again. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Because we run that rat race, we're working, those who are working, you continue to work and work and do other activities and family activities and church activities and responsibilities. If you retire, you even have an exciting life and a life of activities. But every now and then, God has to allow a bump in the road, have to allow a period to make us lie down, just like sheep in green pastures. The sheep would continue to run the rat race. They would continue to run and run and maybe even fall off a cliff. But God allows them to lie down. He maketh them to lie down. And then look, he leads me besides not bubbly water. Not water like it rained last night. You remember hearing the rain? But he leads me by the still waters. If you have your Bibles real quick, look at Psalms 40. Psalms 40 reminds us to be still and know that I'm God. He wants us to be still. Psalms 40 in the 10th verse, he wants us to be still and to know that he is God. The Lord should be our shepherd. Even Jesus Christ, he comes on the scene and he refers to himself with the same imagery. He says, I am in John the 10th chapter. That's where I'm going, John 10. John the 10th chapter, Jesus says, I am the what? Good shepherd. He's a good shepherd and he takes care of his sheep. But then if you continue to read the Bible, you'll see in Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 20th verse. Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 20th verse reminds us he is the great shepherd. And then to bump it up a notch, in Peter, the 5th chapter, Peter refers to him as the chief shepherd. He is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. But my question to you this morning, is he your shepherd? Do you know him as your shepherd? And then look at the next verse. I'm going to just deal with three verses this Sunday. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. How many of you, by a show of hand, and I'll put up two, have ever had a flat tire? Yeah. And when you have a flat tire, you can't keep what? Driving. Yeah, that's right. Can't keep driving. And the reason you can't keep driving, Theo, because you don't want to create more problems, not only for you, but for other drivers. And so either you change the flat tire, or you do like me, you call AAA. And they come and they restore and add on another tire in order for you to get back on the highway. How many of you know that even your soul can be like a flat tire? You're doing well one day spiritually. Everything is going extremely fine. But then you have a bump in the road. You lose a loved one. Or you're dealing with an issue of pain and grief. And yet, it seems as though God has left you. But the Bible reminds us, and if we stay in line with Charles L. Allen's theory by reading Psalms 23 seven times, or you can just read it one time and look right here in the third verse. He restores my soul. He's willing to give us restoration. He's willing to make us whole again that we may get back on the road and move along. Why? Because the Bible says he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He's leading and guiding us each and every day. The shepherd should be first in our lives. Every day. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all things shall be added unto you. Let me close. Those of you who are from Virginia, perhaps you remember this pastor in church. His name was Reverend R. L. Williams. He was pastor of the church, United Methodist Church, Fairmont, in Norfolk, Virginia. It was during the years that churches and clergy will call the newspaper in order to have their sermon title and text printed in the paper. He called during the week and he told the secretary of the newspaper his text, Psalms 23. And the title, "The Lord is My Shepherd." And she asked him, "Is that it?" And he said, "That's enough." Later on in the paper, it came out, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's enough." In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise, knowing that the Lord is my shepherd, and that's enough. Let us stand as we sing this great hymn, "Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way." Amen.